Hello, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English. We're gonna. I got ahead of the music. I'm sorry. I'm very excited. I know. This is gonna be a wild ride, you guys. We have a really unique show, and we've done these shows for so long, and I love it when we have something that comes in that's just a little off. From what we normally do, it always makes it an interesting conversation. And I'll start with Lisa Watson is here with me, and she's going to run the studio while I talk to our guests, and she will take in any calls. Lisa, you want to go ahead and let people know how they can call in?
Sure. You'll be able to dial in as usual. You can call us at 646-200-4071 or toll free at 877-497-5906. And as usual, we'll have the podcast and blog posted after the show. So you can go to readersentertainment.com for the blog and also a link to the podcast. And for our listeners out there that want to follow Andre's website during the show, you can go to www.theendofthecomputer.com. Again, theendofthecomputer, all one word, .com. Back to you, Sheila.
All right. So, you're talking about Andre's website, and we're actually talking to Patrick Connor. Like I said, this is definitely an out-of-the-box show for us. So I hope that everybody's very excited to see how this is going to go. Tonight's interview, like I said, is a little different. The book is The Final World Order by Andre Solonitsyn. Hopefully I'm saying that right, and his wife, Nikki, well, supposedly. Like I said, this is a little different. But tonight we have with us the editor of the book, Patrick Connor. The question is, I'm sure you're asking, why is Patrick here? Why not the authors? And you know what? We're going to find out. You may be a little surprised. Well, hello, Patrick. How are you?
Hello, Sheila. Thanks for having me on the show. It looks like we're going to be doing something different. I wasn't exactly expecting that question.
Well, I take a look at, the books are really unique. The story behind the books are really unique. So I wanted to do something kind of exciting, a little bit different than what our listeners are used to. And I figured, I bet Patrick would go along for the ride. So, it's a little, but we're really intrigued by the exact authorship of this book. Now, it's part of a trilogy, right?
Uh-huh. It's a trilogy. It's called the Thunder Valley Trilogy. And it's The End of the Computer and The Final World Order and The First Commune.
And now you're editor of all three.
Okay, that's how I'm credited, but actually I wrote all three. I've been a published writer for like over 30 years under various names, and I'm the author of all three of the books. And my wife, Colleen, dear woman, is the co-author of the second book, The Final World Order.
I think that's really interesting. It's almost like you're leading a double life. Now, co-authorship of the book is attributed to Andre's wife, Nikki, but it's now to you and your wife both using pen names. Now, why is that?
Well, I'm sure that's really so important. I mean, we're really supposed to get into the book and what that's about. I mean,
You know what?
Yeah?
you're right. You're right, and we will. I promise. We will definitely do that. But honestly, this is so unique, and our listeners are, I think they're going to be very intrigued by this as well. But you know what, we can go there first, Patrick. So tell me, what genre is The Final World Order?
Well, okay, you start off with a hard question because it crosses the traditional lines of genre. The book's about a cadre of extraordinary people, kind of reading from the blurb. It's the people from the first book, The End of the Computer, who didn't stop the world at the end of the world in that book. Now they have one more chance. And so the author of the book, Andre, says in his foreword that the book is perhaps future history or predictive fiction. I mean, difficult to say what genre that falls in.
It is. But, again, you call him the author. So,
okay, it's fine. Supposed author. Look, can I read something part of the Amazon description?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay. Okay, it says here, what do the President of the United States, the Premier of China, the President of Russia, the Prime Minister of Israel, the King of England, and the Drug King of Afghanistan have in common? They're all people who have been hiding from the world in exquisitely beautiful Thunder Valley. Given no choice, this cadre of loving, brilliant men and women of the valley have become the kings and queens of the world in order to save it. But that's not all. Behind the scenes, two brave women try to infiltrate the bastions of hell to protect the rest. And that's kind of scary. The chances of success are slim. The odds they will all lose their souls in the attempt are frighteningly high. Some will die. But however intense it gets, it's an extremely intense and exciting book. Whoops, I read that wrong. Don't stop reading until the final resolution of the final world order on the very last page. It's what made writing this book possible.
I love that. And I know that we're going to try and fit in an audio clip, which is exciting because we don't always get that kind of an opportunity. But, we still have lots and lots of questions to ask, but I'm really hoping we're going to fit that in. It seems it would be a little difficult for one person to know about all those countries. You're just talking about all those countries. Is to make that all believable.
Well, I've been blessed and lived a really rich and interesting life. I mean, I've traveled. I've hitchhiked across the United States and in Europe. Got a degree in history from the University of California at Berkeley.
With honors in general scholarship, according to UC Berkeley, and you also had majors in mathematics and English.
Yeah, I bounced around a little bit. I also speak three languages passively if I practice a little and fumble around in four others.
Wow.
Now, having read your bio, I know, I'm always impressed with people who can speak multiple languages.
What's really funny is I think I'm really bad at languages, but as time goes on, I just keep adding stuff, and it's a surprise to me, too.
Well, you know, I'm actually currently learning Italian, and, it's so different from English. You know, the romantic languages are, but once you learn what the romantic languages, it seems to be, it's a little easier to add those in. But now, having read your bio, I see that you write a blog, and I thought this was really interesting. It's a blog on the Middle East, specifically the chances of World War III or perhaps even Armageddon starting there.
The blog is called Snafu on DisasterEmergencySupplies.com. There are about 1,300 posts on there. And anyway, today things have just broken loose. Israel has gone into Gaza in a ground war. That happened just a couple of hours ago. So I, instead of preparing for this, I've been busy writing posts. It's very heavy over there right now.
Yeah,
right.
That's a lot of writing.
It is. When things heat up, I can be writing several hours a day posts, and that's one of these days today. But this is a lot more pleasant, believe me.
Now, the blog seems quite popular for such a deep subject. You say you get up to 40,000 page views a month?
Yeah, that's for both the blog and the articles I've written on the site. Right now it's kind of going through the sky because everyone's interested in this big event.
Right. Do you have a degree as a physician or
no,
were you trained?
No, the articles on medic and the things on trauma are just sharing of experiences I've had, situations I've been in. That's all.
Okay.
Yes. Deep trauma is a subject kind of close to my heart. It's a very interesting thing to be with a person and seeing them getting very, very close to death and going in with them and being with them and then trying to bring them out of that before their own bodies actually kill them because of the trauma. And I've been blessed to be successful with that from time to time.
Wow!
I mean, it just sounds like you've got a full life and so many experiences. I also saw in your bio that you edited Black Phelps magazine and wrote a book on karate with a Korean seal attached to the U.S. seal.
Yeah. He didn't have a whole lot of English, so that was kind of an interesting experience, but it turned out well. When I edited Black Belt, I used a pen name, Nickel Pranker, which is an anagram of Patrick Connor, because I was the director of advertising for the publications group, and, you know, you can't have the editor and the advertising guy the same guy. Anyway, I ghostwrote the book that you mentioned, and, and quite a few other things.
Now you told us that you've also ghostwritten, you know, many other things, and have you used other names for your other writing?
Some. I mean, not many, but some. I used my real name when I was featured in the Ballantine Books Stellar 2, which was a collection of science fiction stories, and that had Isaac Asimov. That story actually turned into the movie I, Robot. And Larry Niven, Haldeman, others I don't remember right now, but, and of course, myself. I was quite humbled by being included in such a stellar company of writers.
Now, that was the mid-70s?
Yes.
And you were inducted into the Science Fiction Writers of America back then.
Yes, that was very pleasant.
and so you've been published for over 30 years, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Wow. So now, since we could find, you know, one other published story in your name from an even earlier time in an Australian science fiction magazine, you could say you've been published for 40 years.
Yes, that's true.
So I'm really dating you here, right? No, but it is interesting that it seems that you're actually kind of almost minimizing the extent of your writings, although, you know, you do say in your bio that your commercial writing credits number in the thousands.
Yeah. I seem to hear a point in that question, but I'm not sure what it is.
Well, in your Thunder Valley trilogy, you have some characters you call triples,
uh-huh,
who are explained more fully in the second book, The Final World Order.
Yes.
The natural genetic oddity makes them have long lives, a very long lives, mostly free of disease. Now, some of these characters have lives that start in the early 1800s and are still going strong in the present day.
Yeah, that was necessary for a sub-storyline that went through the trilogy. There's much more about them in the third book, named The First Commune. But, I mean, naturally triples are just a construct of my mind. There's no such thing in reality. They don't exist, nothing like that. I mean, it's fiction.
The first and third books of a trilogy are called histories, meaning, you know, they're obviously real. Only the second book is called actual fiction.
Uh-huh. Well, obviously, a construct, you know, for the sake of the storyline, it makes the people
uh-huh
seem real. I mean, they are like real to me when I write about them, and it comes out in the writing, I think. A lot of the reviews on Amazon that have been springing up in the last couple of days say just that. And they're very good people on the whole. So, yeah, fiction. The trilogy is just fiction.
Now, even the factors of today's world that, you know, books say are bringing us close to the end of the world, like the decline of oxygen in the air?
No, unfortunately, those are just so real. I mean, really, unfortunately. If you go on the Scripps Oceanic Institute website, they've documented the decline of oxygen in the world there. I mean, you can see the graphs and everything. And I think they're underplaying it, actually, for obvious reasons, because it's scary. And they don't talk about the role of plankton as the Earth's primary source of oxygen regeneration, not trees. And I could just go on and on and on about this, but it's we actually have less oxygen now than we had a year ago, and less oxygen then than we had the year before. And we're getting toward a tipping point. It's really scary.
So there are some very real inconvenient truths in the book.
Yeah. Ones that don't make the big noises in the press, but they're really a lot more scary.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that the books are not, you know, entirely fictional.
Yeah, but what really matters is the fact that...
We have the recording from one of the books. Let me see if we can get that queued up. Lisa, are you able to queue that up for us?
Yep, hang on.
Lisa, let's go ahead and bring that down.
I just wanted to mention that we just secured, I'm not sure, should I be talking now?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. She's bringing it down for us.
Cool. Anyway, we just secured the rights for that song this morning, and it should be at least the title track for the movie of the Final World Order. We're just starting funding on it, and it's a long, long road ahead, but it's a first step. The screenplay is starting now, too. So we're excited. It's an exciting song. It's by Mercy Road. And anyway, it kind of has the feeling of the book in it.
All right. So now, you know, I thought we were going to hear like a reading because, you know, I actually didn't get to preview the recording. So now I'm actually even more intrigued. So the song, you had this. So this is an original song created with the movie in mind?
No, actually, it's by a group called Mercy Road, and I've heard it for a long time, and I thought that would be really neat if we did a movie of the second book for that to be the title track. So I got I just got permission from them this morning, about 2 hours ago, to go ahead and use it when and if the movie takes off. And so if the movie gets made, then the first thing you'll here, just after a bit of film, it goes into the sleepy town of Guerneville, as in the book, and then when the chase scene starts, the music starts, and we go on with helicopter shots, et cetera. Anyway, so we're excited. I'm excited.
That is exciting. I feel like we have breaking news.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is...
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Now, tell me something. Have you had any feedback from people who read the beta version of the book?
Some. Only a few read it pre-publication, but the response was essentially the same, and now that we're getting in reviews onto the Amazon site for the Final World Order, and they're saying really similar things, too. They're saying things like no book they had ever read before, and deep life truths, and life-changing, and maximally exciting, and... like you guys say, they feel like the people are real and kind of wish that they were actually their friends, and they're kind of having a hard time believing that the people are fictional, which makes me kind of happy.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you want when you're a writer, is to have those characters almost feel like they could walk right off the page.
They seem real to me. I mean, their voice is very familiar to me. I'm not sure I should say this part. Excuse me. One of the people started reading the book one evening, stayed up all night without sleeping, finished it the next day, and then she called me because she's a good friend and beta reader, and she sounded like she had PTSD And I told her I never intended anyone to read it straight through. I thought it would be too much for the central nervous system, and apparently it is. So anyone reading the book, put it down from time to time, really.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting. That's, you know, I've actually seen movies and I've read books that are like that, that they kind of, there's so much energy to them that it actually kind of taps into your own energy.
Yes, it does, and that happens with me when I reread it, which is kind of astounding because I know what's going to happen next. And
right.
My wife, who proofs the things, and the parts that she's put into it, rereads it, gets out of a box of tissues because again, the emotional involvement is so great.
Right, and that's actually kind of just a testament to how good the book is and how riveting the story is.
Yes.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yes. Now, the Final World Order has an explicit rating. Why is that?
Okay, a good question. We debated that for a long time. There are a couple of passages that fall into kind of a gray area. I wouldn't call them explicit, but some people probably would. And the book does have many, truly adult sexual themes running through it. One part, in an attempt to protect the rest of the group, two of the married women get sucked into a world of betrayal, which includes sexual betrayal. It's very, very heady. And one of them becomes pregnant from someone else in the group. And, they're married. How does marriage stand that? And I don't think that people under 18 have, the experience or the desire to process that kind of material. At least I hope they don't. So we decided to err on the side of caution and call it explicit.
And that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, would you let your daughters read this book?
One has. She was a little traumatized by it, but she also said it was the best writing I'd ever done, which was nice to hear. Another daughter is an adult Down syndrome girl, so she will never read it.
Makes sense. Okay. And I'm sorry if I was...
Oh, no, it's fine. There's a lot of her, Mary, in the character Erwin. I've learned quite a lot from my daughter they say Down syndrome people are special. Well, yeah, in ways you just don't know until you've done it for a while. I had a conversation with her. I was trying to explain something to her about the concept of one because she was having trouble with numbers. And it was like, she looked at me and it was like she thought I was lying to her. And suddenly it came on me that maybe the concept of one that I was trying to teach her is flawed, and that segued into a great change in my own thinking, and that's reflected in especially the first book, The End of the Computer, where people talk about Andre has an article that's been kind of erased from the internet, but the title was Inconsistencies in Whole Numbers, and it's a great concept. What does one actually mean? Anyway, I digress.
That's interesting. Now, talking a little bit about your family, you mind if I ask, how long have you and your wife, Colleen, been married?
38 years this time.
Oh, wow. So this time.
Yeah, it isn't the first time.
You got me there for a second.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, it's interesting things happen.
So are you going to expand on that?
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking on it, but I'm not going to expand on that. No, I don't think so. that's all I have to say about that. We have been for a very long time, and I've enjoyed, I could say every minute of it, and that wouldn't be true, but I've enjoyed, a great deal of it. And she can still stand me and go along with the crazy stuff, so I think she's a peach.
I do want to ask you too. What's it like to write with your wife? I mean, you've obviously had a long life together and have had adventures together. You have children together, and now you're sharing this story. What's that like?
It's a great adventure. We sit out on the night and we laugh about that to each other all the time. I'm kind of a private person, really, and to think about collaborating with someone on a book or a story just filled me with dread. There's no other word for it. And then we started doing the first book, and it just seemed natural to collaborate with Colleen on it. And some of the characters, like Nikki, is completely her construction. And and we just got into it so that it, we melded together intellectually as well as physically, and so we did the second book the same, and the third book the same, and I hate to say it, but it looks like there might be a fourth. But anyway, it's been fun. It's been a great adventure, and we've learned about each other and gotten deeper and deeper into each other. It's been, I just can't imagine having, I could not have imagined having this experience even, you know, 5 years ago. But here it is, another great adventure with us.
Wow, that's neat.
It is.
So now, Lisa, do we have any callers? I just want to make sure I give anybody an opportunity.
Yeah, actually, we do have a caller, so hang on just 1 second. Hi, welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. This is Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. Did you have a question for Pat?
Yeah, I did. When's the third book coming out?
I like that question. well, it's coming out in about 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll get it available from Amazon at the end of the month. We just have to put some finishing touches on it, and we're going to rock and roll.
That's awesome.
Well, thanks for asking about it. Always good to promote the next thing.
Well, I'm really interested to because I want to read all three, especially knowing, you know, the this big story arc that you have, and that there's so many layers to it, and that it, you know, you have written some and your wife has written some. I just think there's so many different unique aspects of what the story itself, of course, but also kind of the background of the story and how the story was written. So I think anybody you know, listening out there, I think, you know, definitely give this series a try, and I would say try all three of them, because we would love to, you know, contrast and compare and see if we can really tell the difference between the writing and I'm very interested to see you know how closely you and your wife, you know, follow this story theme. So all three books are definitely on the list.
It won't be normal, because the first book is written by Andre, the second book is written by Andre and Nikki, and the third book is written by William Rasmussen and Zhao Cheng Li, who is a Chinese gentleman of some note. And the voices, there are tie-ins. It's a great loop. When you get to the end of the third book, it's kind of like a Mobius strip that leads you back into the others. I had this idea to make books without, you know, there's an ending to the book. There's a very distinct and you know, it doesn't leave you hanging. But yet, it doesn't quite end, because it goes back into the second book. So it should be interesting for people. I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too. Very interesting. Well, Lisa, I want to just circle back around. Could you go ahead and give us the URL again?
Yep, it is www.theendofthecomputer.com. Again, theendofthecomputer.com. And you can also find Andre's works on Amazon, and you can go there, check out the reviews, and read an excerpt from the book. And we are almost out of time. Unbelievably, we have 1 minute and 42 seconds left.
Okay, can I just say one thing? TheEndOfTheComputer.com has links to the Amazon pages for both the books, and as you said, it has some sample chapters that aren't on Amazon. So anyway, a good place to start.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a good place to start. I would start with the website. And, of course, you know, we're going to be following up. By tomorrow, we'll have a little blog up that will accompany the podcast, and that'll be on readersentertainment.com. And we'll make sure that the website's up there, and we have a little bit of additional information. This has been just like I knew this was going to be a unique show. I knew this was going to be, you know, a little off the beaten path, which is refreshing. And, you know, I know that our listeners love that kind of thing when we surprise them a little bit, and I think we've managed to do that today. Patrick, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and let me kind of grill you and you give us some breaking news. It's been wonderful.
It's been lovely, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
And I want to thank our listeners for for joining us on this really fun show, and be sure to check out the blog tomorrow at readersentertainment.com. Take us out, Lisa.
All righty.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.